listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you. If you were, are, or might be in the future considering a career in the entertainment industry, our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a professional career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you have to listen every single week for the rest of your life. All right. So if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, and listen to the show or their interview instantly, and you can also download any of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. If you're listening to me live, you're already there on the website, so look up the top, click on the link that says Channel 1, scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of all of our past guests. We've been on the air from 2008 until today, and we are just so thrilled because we have so many fans. I was so worried when I first started the radio show. I had come from television. I used to produce a television show, and when I came to radio, I said, oh my God, where am I going to get guests every single week? I was in panic mode. I was almost at the point where I was going to have to take prescription pills for the anxiety. But it all seemed to work out. We did a couple shows. My friends did a couple shows. Now, thank gosh, we are booked 6 months to a year in advance. We have fans all over the world, millions of fans. I get tons of emails. And I want to thank everybody. This is a whole new year. And what I plan to be doing this year is to bring some behind-the-scenes people that work in film, television, radio, theater, all the behind-the-scenes jobs. Because, you know, when you come out here from wherever you're coming from, whatever part of the world, most people come out here to become an actor or an actress. There are so many other jobs that are behind the scenes other than director, producer. There are script supervisors. There are production people. There's production managers. There's so many cool jobs that you can do, and I want to bring more behind-the-scenes people on this year, and I have my team. Oh, God, don't we love to say we have a team. I never had a team before. I just used to do everything myself, but the bigger the show has gotten, we've just gotten a team. People just volunteer, and as long as I keep them fed and in entertainment, they're good to go. So you have to tune in this year for sure. Not only are we going to have our regular celebrities and award winners in front of the camera, people who are the actors, actresses, singers, etc., but again, we are going to be focusing on behind the scenes people. So now, to finish this up, go to our archive page, and that is where you can take a list of all of our guests. We also have shows available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find out about our future guests. Now, if you want to find out who our guests are for the new year, that's a separate website. That's our official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, as opposed to latalkradio.com, which is where we actually air the shows and you can listen to. And they have fantastic shows. You got to check out all of the really cool shows. It's so diverse, so eclectic, the hosts and the shows. So you want to check that out on latalkradio.com. Now, as we have for the past 6 years had incredible guests, it does not stop in the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. We have a fantastic, incredible, exciting guest for you today. This woman is, it is such an honor. When I was told by Susan Johnston of the New Media Film Festival that there was an opportunity to have this lady, this princess on the show. Her name is Irina Maliva. I said, oh my God, I can't believe it, because Susan told me such wonderful things about her. And I just, my jaw was agape, people. It was agape because I couldn't believe all of the wonderful things that have happened to this woman and her wonderful life. I mean, we could truly put the title on to Irina Maliva as It's a Wonderful Life, because when you hear about some of the things that have happened in her life, it's just going to have you on edge. I'm bringing you to the edge today. You might want to check out her websites. Let me just give those to you now so that you can peruse at your leisure. Hopefully you'll be listening. You can peruse and listen at the same time. The first website is arenamaliva.com. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, or she's going to kill me, but we'll just go with Irina Maliva. It's IrinaMaleva.com. Again, IrinaMaleva.com. She also has a website which is .net, so it would be the same, arenamaliva.net. And then she's on Facebook under arena.maliva.actor. arena.maliva.actor. She's also on Facebook under her whole name, which is Irina Maliva, IrinaMaleva. She has some video clips on Vimeo, and that would be, of course, Vimeo.com, Vimeo.com, and then Irina Maliva /videos. She, too, is on iTunes, I see, under Irina Maliva, of course. So write this down. Check her out. Very exciting woman. And let me just tell you a little bit about this wonderful, gorgeous lady. Irina Maliva is, she's just truly a multifaceted international performer. She was born in Bulgaria, my very first Bulgarian on the show. We've had Slovenians, we've had our lovely Germans, our Russian people. I just love European people. I wanted to be born in the Czech Republic, actually Prague. I think that's the Czech Republic. You know me in geography. But I wanted to be born in Prague. That was like one of my goals before I was born in the spirit world. It just never happened. But anyway, we have Irina here, born in Bulgaria, and she was born to a famous actress, and her father was a war hero who led, are you ready for this, who led the anti-Nazi movement in his country. I mean, how much of an honor is it to have a person of this nobility on my show? Oh, I feel so blessed. Now, she first established herself as a child actor in Bulgaria, and then she became a teenage actor in Italy. And guess what happened to her when she was in Italy? At 15 years old, she was discovered by none other than the famous Italian film director Federico Fellini. Yes, I've said it. Federico Fellini. Yes. I mean, this is incredible. Now, he cast her in three of his films, including Satricon, and she also played Jessica to Orson Welles in Shylock in a BBC production of The Merchant of Venice. And then she went on to star in more than 30 European and American films, and she has had some serious co-stars. I mean, some of these icons are James Mason, Valentina Cortese, Terrence Stamp, Anthony Francis, I can never pronounce his last name, Franciosa, I believe, my mother had a crush on him in the 70s. We had to watch everything Graziosa and Charles Grodin. And she was also recognized by the Toronto Film Festival for her supporting actress portrayal of the demented Contessa in the film Union City. And that, of course, starred, do we not love her? Deborah Harry. Oh, my God. She was the bomb when I was a child. And Pat Benatar. Love Pat Benatar. Oh, my gosh. And Arena has also played recurring and guest starring roles on such TV hits as Days of Our Lives, The Gilmore Girls, The Bold and the Beautiful, Pensacola, Just Shoot Me, one of my favorite shows, Angel, and also another favorite show, Heroes, and a show that I was on, not in a part as big as hers, but I had a little teeny part on 6 Feet Under, which was one of my favorite shows. So what's exciting is that she has a one-woman show called Illusions, and this is a live theatrical portrait of her extraordinary life. So who wouldn't want to go see this? And it's interspersed between songs from her new CD, which is also entitled Illusions. And in this, she recounts with humor and, of course, emotional stories of her life that began in Bulgaria. So who would not want to go see this? My God, sign me up and count me in. I'm going to have to count all of my pennies and nickels and make sure that I'm able to afford it, because I tell you, I was nearly wiped out in Christmas presents. I'm down to my nickels and pennies today. So without further ado, let's meet the wonderful, the Renaissance figure, the graceful Irina Maliva. Irina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Priscilla. My God, you introduced me in such a great way. I don't know what I could say now. You said it all. You said it all. Oh, you're incredible. My God.
Oh, well, I was afraid I put you to sleep. I just write out this. You know, I love to write, and I thought, is it too much? Is Arena going to be sleeping before
then? Because I never talk about myself, so it's always good when somebody else talks about me.
Yes, it is. And boy, everybody should be talking about you, because you, my God, you are a phenomenal individual. You are mesmerizing, not only in person, because I saw your picture and you're just stunningly beautiful, but your career is something to just be in awe of. And I want to go back, because I am a person who likes to do things in chronological order. That's the way my mind processes. So let's go back, Arena, to when you were a little itsy bitsy gorgeous girl back in Bulgaria. What did you see yourself being when you grew up?
An actress, always an actress, always. I was born knowing what I wanted to do.
Oh.
It was all the time, actress, actress, actress.
You're so lucky, because a lot of people just stumble through life and they think, oh, I want to be an actor. Oh, I want to be a singer. I want to be a dancer. And they dabble and they dabble and it just doesn't work out for them. And they just either never find out what they want to do, or they never really discover what their passion is. So you're so very lucky. Now, your mother was a famous actress. Is that why you too wanted to be an actress?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my whole family there and in Italy were into the show business. I mean, my uncle was a musician in the opera. My cousin, she became a conductor. My mother, an actress. My aunt, a dancer. I mean, I lived in a family like this. The only serious part was my father, you know, who was who he was, you know. But I've always known, as if I was just born to be that, I've always known that was my passion, and just nothing would stop me. Even if I was painting and my mother thought, oh, it's better to become a painter. No, I would just do it for her, but I always knew all I wanted was to be an actress. It's a need, you know? It's a need. When one has to have the need to express himself or herself, through acting, if you really want to be an actor. It's not just the fancy part of it or anything else. It's just a real need to perform, to express yourself this way. And I always felt that I was making people happy by doing that, you know. So that's why I never, never, ever had a slight doubt of what I wanted.
Now, your mom, you say she was a famous actress. May we say her name to give her, of course, credit?
Yes. What is her name was also Irina, spelled like mine. Last name, Taseva, T-A-S-E-V, like Victor A. And she was famous in Eastern Europe, in Russia, Bulgaria, all of these countries, as a stage actress, although she had, I found out recently, she had two movies as well that she had done as a young actress. But, you know, she worked with the big Russians, with Stanislavski, with Ostrovsky, some of the big, big Russian directors, you know, from whom here, you know, in America, they created so many schools based on their teaching. So she was big stage actress.
So she was directed by Stanislavski himself. I mean, we know who you just mentioned, but she actually worked. I mean, was directed by him.
Yeah, she was. I mean, I was actually when she went to Mali Theater in Russia, I was with her.
Wow.
I was little kid, and I was with her. And there was the whole Bulgarian troupe of the theater, the National Theater in Sofia, who were having, you know, performances in Russia. They were invited there. And she had some of the biggest directors from that part of the world. She worked with them, and I was with her the whole time, so I guess there was nowhere else I could go but in the theater and the movies.
So you got to meet Stanislavski himself as well, right?
Well, I did not meet him really. Mm-hmm. She just worked with him before, but Stanislavski, I think by the time I went there with her to Mali Theater, was dead. So she worked with him before. So I was not born. I was not on that time there. So I did not meet him. I met the other directors with whom she worked there.
Mm. Well, what was life like? What did you observe from your perspective? What did you observe her life to be like as a working actress in Europe at that time, working with that level of talent?
Well, you know what? At communist time, and I was born during the communist time, the communists paid a lot of attention to talent, and they put them on certain pedestal because for them it was an honor, you know, to have certain talented people and actors especially. I mean, it's not that the life was what would have been here. Of a famous actress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have the fame, but, you know, basically, if you ask me, it's interesting that I have met so many famous people, but if you ask about life, everyday life, I mean, there was nothing. You know, Bulgaria was exporting everything to Russia at that time. There was absolutely nothing to eat in Bulgaria, and so on. And I still felt, you know, while I was a child, that I was a privileged child, although, you know, we kind of lived with the glory. I mean,
right.
That's all you could live with.
Right.
Because there was really nothing else.
Right.
But my mother loved too much the theater, and she couldn't ever, ever leave, you know, Bulgaria. It was one of these things.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame her. If she was successful, why leave and go anywhere else if she was happy? Now, she was an actress. Your father, was he in entertainment as well? Or
No. My father was, during the Tsar, during the time of the Tsar in Bulgaria, which was just before the communists, he was from his family and he was like his right hand. He was from the Italian side. The Bulgarian King Boris was married to an Italian queen. So he was on the side and he was a pilot and he governed the airports in Bulgaria during the Second World War, but I was not born on that time. When I was born, he was really in jail by the communists.
How did he lead the anti-Nazi movement in his country?
Well, yeah, you know, Bulgaria was the only country, I think, only in part, Holland, a very small part, but Bulgaria was the only country during this time where Jewish people were hidden and saved in Bulgaria by the Bulgarians, and not, that was the country that refused to listen to Hitler. And that was the only country where thousands and thousands of Jewish people were saved in Bulgaria. And this thing was not known until several years ago when communism went apart, because the communists didn't want to give any glorification to King Boris, but it was because of him that all of these Jewish people were saved. And my father was one of the generals who commanded his soldiers, and when the trains passing through Bulgaria, which were going to all the concentration camps with the Jewish people, he ordered his soldiers to lie on the railroad, on the trails of the railroads, and stopped the trains, and they got all the Jewish people and hid them in Bulgaria. And wow. None of the Jewish people was ever killed or anything in Bulgaria.
Wow. Oh, my God, what a hero. What an angel on earth he was. I cannot believe it. I'm tearing up right now. I can't believe what a noble, brave, human, compassionate human. Your father was really an angel on earth. I can't believe
it. Well, him and a lot of other Bulgarians. There is one who was actually the justice on that time in Bulgaria. And just this year, in November, I was invited by the Bulgarian embassy in Washington because they finally gave a whole square in Washington, I guess near the Bulgarian embassy, and put the name of this Bulgarian justice who was the one, together with King Boris, to decide that all of the Jewish people were going to be saved. And my father, being one of the generals, and all the other generals, simply executed all of this that was decided. So there were a lot of Bulgarians, and now it's become finally known only the last few years. I've always known it, but I mean, it was not known here or anywhere else in the world.
Well, I think that somebody listening to this radio interview needs to create a screenplay and do a movie about your father. By the way, what is your father's name?
Konstantin DeCostamalev.
Uh-oh, I can't pronounce that last one. I'm going to look him up. Can you spell that, please?
K-O-N-S-T-A-Konstantine, Konstantin, without E at the end, Konstantin. Well, you could also put Malev, M-A-L-E-E-V. Try on that one. My mother is easy. If you just put my mother's name, at IMDb immediately comes out.
Wow.
My father is a little more complicated.
A little complicated. That's a name for you. Well, I think someone needs to jump on the bandwagon and to write a screenplay, because I, not being a historian by any way, shape, or form. But I had never even heard about the active role that Bulgaria had taken in World War II. So this is information for so many people who had not heard that as well. And I really thank you for sharing that. I hope someone really takes note of that and turns that into a movie, because I think that your father should get more recognition for that role, as well as everyone in Bulgaria, King Boris as well, who took part in World War II and the anti-Nazi movement. So thank you so much for sharing that with me. Now, as an actress, I know that you went on at age 15, I guess somehow you moved to Italy. Or why don't you tell us about this? Because I know you were discovered by Italian film director Federico Fellini.
Yeah.
How did that happen, Arena? My God, that's like that's like being discovered by Spielberg at the mall over here.
Yes. Well, it happened that I went because, you know, my father was Italian, so I had the right to go to Italy, and my mother wanted me to study painting, which I did. I enrolled myself in stage design, but in the meantime, all I wanted was to act, and I went in a Fersen studio, which is something like the studio here of, you know, the actor's studio, and he took me in all of his plays, and we were performing in Spoleto on the Festival of the Two Worlds. You know, the Spoleto sister city is Charleston here in the States, because that's a film festival and they have all very interesting directors there and actors. And who came to see me in the play, she was a friend of the director, was Giulietta Mazzina. She was Federico Fellini's wife. You know that incredible actress, Giulietta Mazzina, who did La Strada.
Absolutely.
And all these amazing movies.
Right.
And after she saw me, she came to me and she said that she wanted to introduce me to her husband. So I went to Cinecittà with her and met Federico Fellini.
Wow. What was your impression of him when you first met him?
Oh, he was a very sweet man, incredibly sweet man. He just, you know, looked at me, took my photo, painted something on top of my photo, gave it to makeup and said, you are an exotic.
Ooh.
Yeah, be at makeup at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
So that's how it started. And once he likes you, he takes you in all of his films.
Wow. So he was, what do you, you've worked with, of course, a lot of directors. What did you feel made Federico Fellini so special? What was it about his directing that...
Well, he's an actor. If you like the face or how a person behaves, he could make anyone. I mean, he was just such a genius. More depended on him, really, than the actor, if you like the actor. While with Orson Welles, when I was cast...
Hi, welcome back. We just had a little technical issue. You know, the satellites are crashing up there, microwaves. God knows what's happening. But we lost the lovely Arena Maliva for a couple minutes. But we are back in action. So we're going to pick up where we left off. I had just asked her a question. She was discovered at age 15 by the great film director, Federico Fellini. And I had asked her, because she has worked with many, many directors, and I wanted to know from her what was the difference between working with Federico Fellini and other directors. What made him so special? And Arena, if you don't mind repeating that, my darling, tell us what that is.
Well, what I said is that he had his own incredible imaginatory world, and all of his imagination was transforming into the film, although his films were always full with the reality, the political reality in Italy, even if they were, you know, different kind of, and they looked sexy or they looked extravagant, but there was always underneath a political reality in the films. And as I was very young, you know, he could get out of me what he wanted. Like, he would tell me, talk about this or talk about that, and then he'll put it in the film in his own way, and it'll serve his purpose. So it was not me conducting actually anything, but just doing what he wanted me to do while working. And that was like one of the puzzles that he would put in his incredible films. While working with Orson Welles was different because I was cast, first of all, out of 100 girls for the part of Jessica in The Merchant of Venice. And he let me do as an actress what I really wanted to do with the part. And although I was young, I learned, I mean, so much from him. He showed me how, it was amazing, the whole process of working with Orson Welles. So, you know, with Orson Welles, I could be myself. I could really put my mind and my talent, my whole acting ability. Well, with Fellini, it was just enough to be there and do what he wanted, and it was becoming a film. You know, Fellini was the one, as they call it, a director's film, because the stories were his, everything was his. But I loved my time working with Orson Welles. It was really amazing, maybe the happiest time as an actress in my life.
What was so great about work? I mean, like, we could answer that a million different ways, but from your perspective, what was so wonderful about working with Orson Welles? What made that experience for you?
Well, what made it wonderful was that if I wanted to do something, for example, in the monologues where Jessica is writing to Lorenzo and she says how much she hates her father and so on and so on, first of all, he made me hate him by showing me when he was being made up and so on, and he became this kind of really monstrous man. And I really hated that. I loved him in life. So to see that was amazing. That helped me in my acting. And then he would let me be. He would not tell me how to say certain things. He would just let me free to do what I wanted to do with the monologues. And it was quite amazing also that certain times, you know, he didn't have money, well, because he was a spender. We always ate and drank and, you know, the whole
thing.
Yeah,
he was a party animal.
Really. And I consider him really like my father. He was like a big teddy bear, sweetest man on earth. And so sometimes we won't have the costumes, so he'll put Lorenzo behind Venetian glass. We were shooting in Venice in the house in Asolo, the house of the big actress Eleonora Duse, the biggest Italian actress in theater. Eleonora Duse, she's made also films from Once Upon a Time, and we were in her house shooting, and Lorenzo didn't have the costume, so he'll put him behind the Venetian glass, and I'll go, and you'll see only the face and the head of Lorenzo, and I will be there. I mean, it was amazing what the man did. It was just amazing, an incredible genius. And he never called me Irina. I was Jessica. That was it during the whole shooting.
Now, you have worked with so many icons in the industry, so like James Mason, Valentino Corsese, Terrence Stamp, who was a more modern actor, Charles Grodin, who I just love, by the way. That deadpan humor, I love that. You never know what is going to come out of him. But also, you work with Deborah Harry, one of my favorite singers.
Yeah.
Tell us about working with, say, oh my God, there's so many. Let's say Deborah Harry and Pat Benatar, because I love them so much. What did you do with them, by the way? Oh, you were in a movie with them, The Demented Contessa, right, in the film
right.
Union City, right?
Yeah, it's called Union City, right. And I was too young to be, they thought, you know, The Demented Contessa should be older, but it didn't matter because I love playing parts that I'm a little off.
Right.
So
they're the fun thing.
So Yeah, Debbie was wonderful. It was her first film, so I actually, you know, helped her, and you know, in acting. And one day, an interesting story. I was coming from New York, and just maybe just a couple, 2-3 years ago, maybe a little more, and I was in New York early in the morning, and I was watching this blonde lady with a little doggy, and I love dogs. We have two big dogs. And I was watching, I was wondering, where is the doggy going to go in the plane and all of this? And at the end, we were taking our suitcases, and she's right next to me. And she comes, embraces me, and she said, "I did a movie with you." And I'm looking, and I couldn't recognize it. And she says, "Well, I'm Debbie Harry, and I really thank you for working together." Wow. She's such a wonderful person.
She seems then, like it. She seems like it. Oh, my God, I just lost my mind over her. Call me on the line. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have sang. That's the worst thing I should do. I'm gonna get stoned if I try to sing. They're gonna hunt me down. Well, you know what, Irina, talking about singing, you are, oh, my God, when I listened to the two MP3 files, the two music clips that were sent to me, I said, I have got to have that CD. Maybe Irina will give me one for my birthday or Christmas, because I got to have one of these. You have a beautiful voice.
Tell me,
oh, my
where
God.
To send it.
It's so
much. Tell me where to send it.
Oh,
I will send it.
I'm going to send your assistant or your PR person my information. And, of course, I'll pay for it. I wouldn't dare.
Oh, no, no way, no way. I'll be so happy. You would love the songs. You would love the songs, because that was really a labor of love between my musical director, Michelle Braumann, who actually wrote the music for one of the songs you heard, Games Are Everywhere, and Stefan Noberoff, who was the engineer and the other amazing musician and composer, and myself. I wanted for once to have the songs I really love that are not connected with any story, because usually in my shows we always had to figure out songs that kind of go with my stories. Now it was the opposite. We started with the gorgeous songs that I loved, and we put my own story, and it worked, because the CD, basically all the songs, is what I love. And we have Mon Dieu, which is a song by Edith Piaf, she sang it. We have Besame Mucho, but everything done in a new way because of these two incredible musicians that worked with me.
So they rearranged the song. Correct.
Right.
Now, are these, how many songs, is this from your new CD called Illusions?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And how many songs are on the CD, Irina?
13.
Oh, that's wonderful. 13 songs of you. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, where can we get this? Is this on, like, Amazon.com?
It's on Amazon. It's on iTunes. It's on CD Baby. And I'm doing a big release with a big show. I think it'll be in March. And my director, the director who did my show Illusions, and we did, we kind of started it, and now I'll have a long run, is Randy Johnson, who at the moment is the hot thing in New York with his show for Janis Joplin.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, he's my director of Illusions, and he's going to direct the show that I'm doing to introduce the CD. And if you give all of your information, I would love to invite you to come to this release of the CD.
Is that going to be, I want to get this out so everybody can hear about this. This is going to be the launch of your CD Illusions. This is a one-woman show, and you're aiming for the eventual New York production for it to launch in New York. That's where you're going to have it. And then I want to also talk real quick, because we got 5 minutes, and I want to play your song to close the show out. But I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Illusions is also shooting to be a movie. There's also a movie version that's a possibility, and the film festival run for your two musical videos for Face the Music and Illusions, correct?
Yes, I also went. I went to 8 movie festivals this year. The last year, 2013. One of the film festivals was Susan Johnston's New Media Film Festival, and I was awarded on at the Silent River Film Festival. I got the Symphony Award for music and film at that festival.
Wow, you're still bringing in the awards, Arena. My God, they're going to be trying to throw awards at you until the end of time. Oh my God! So, everybody, we're gonna play this song, and then after you hear it, I want you to go to the website and buy this CD because I know you're going to love it. And if you don't love it, there's something wrong with you. No, I'm just kidding. But if you don't like it, if it's not your style of music, which I can't imagine because it's just gorgeous, but maybe for your mother or your aunt or someone that appreciates a gorgeous, gorgeous voice. These are like golden vocal This is like gold. You're like a golden vocal hummingbird is what I like to say that you are. So go to her website, amazon.com, and type in Arena Maliva, and I'm sure you'll see her CD Illusions.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and why we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.